Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, I'd like to welcome you to A Team of Voices and Liquid Damage at Liquid Damage Lounge. I'd like to welcome Carmine.
Hello, my
and
dear friend.
Hi, Carmine.
It's so pleasurable to be with Linda and the wonderful, talented people tonight.
And who's 240? Area code 240? Hello?
It's Spring Singer.
Who is this?
It's Spring Singer.
240. I still can't
it's
hear
Spring
your...
Singer.
Can you spell that?
B-R-I-N-G-S-I-N-G-E-R-1.
Okay, and welcome to the show, and let's see, we got 270, that is Wayne.
That will be me.
Hi, Wayne.
Howdy, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm just now getting set down, working. I just run a little bit late, just now sitting down, and getting kind of get everything cleaned up to listen to the show.
Well, you're here. And I have a lady at 240, and I still can't get your name. Can you say that slower? At 240? Huh. Doesn't say she dropped. And there we go. Hello, Hatter.
Hi. You don't know who that was, huh?
How are you, sweetheart? Yeah, I knew who you were.
I was talking about the previous caller. I didn't catch it either.
No, who was that?
I don't know. That's why I called in real quick. I was listening. And,
yeah, I couldn't understand what she was saying.
She's still there, 240. I'll get in the green
room. Yeah, 240, who's calling? Huh. Well, we'll get her. Oh, got her in the green room. And 503?
Hey.
That is Mr. Prophet. Hi,
yes,
Dave.
Ma'am. Hi.
How are you doing? Thank you for showing up.
Oh, sure. I figured I owed it to you.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you came. Welcome to Carmine and Hatter. And let's see, let's put Hatter's name in here so I remember who's calling.
Hey, Deb.
And Carmine.
Hey.
Huh.
Linda.
Yeah. Yeah.
That the 240 is a poet that's on All Poetry, goes by Bring Singer.
Oh, Bring Singer. Okay, yeah. I sent out a... Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Bring Singer. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, and I'm glad you made it.
It's okay. I could find the online link, so I called in.
Okay. Well, you're here. And we have Dave Prophet. We have Hatter, we have Wayne, we have Bring Singer, and we have Carmine, and we have me. And let's see who else. And, that's Dave Prophet.
Where can I find the online link?
Yes.
And it's spelled it.
I-T-T.
I think Bring Singer asked. I think Bring Singer asked how she can get one of her poems.
Oh
no! I was asking how I get off to the Blog Talk Radio and not do it via phone, but where I can find the link. Do it on the computer.
The link to the show. The link to the show.
Yeah.
Oh. Go on. You're on your computer now.
You posted.
Yeah.
Go to All Poetry, go to A Team of Voices, and then you're going to find, help me, Hatter.
Okay. Once, you know how to get into the group, right? Team of Voices, the chat line.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay, it will go.
She's
okay,
in.
She's in. Okay, go to the chat line. You see where we're talking? Can somebody say something to her?
Yeah,
type
hi. Yeah, she's
okay,
there.
Okay, now can we get the link just put on the chat line there so she can click on it?
Let me go back to... Team of Voices.
I'll try to do the same real quick. Get there.
Okay. Okay, it should be on the where it says HTTPS?
Should be in red, I guess.
It should be at the top in the bar thing. I'm very illiterate as far as computers go, so you'll have to work with me.
Linda, did you post it on the chat wall?
Oh, not on the chat wall.
Okay. I'm gonna post it to the chat wall real quick. Okay, that way she'll have it.
Yeah, don't get me locked out. That's what I'm worried about.
Okay, running down the hall. If you're on the chat wall, you're going to see it here in...
I saw it, thanks.
There you go. Click on that, Bringsinger. By Jay Hatter. Do you see that?
I'm clicking on it. Where do I get to the actual thing itself?
That's wrong. That was the wrong one. Hold on. That's my problem. Hold on one second. God darn it. Okay. Get the blog talk. That's what she wants.
Oh. That's what I need to figure out how to do, too.
Okay. I'll go back. Yeah, we should all practice this. Okay. See if this did it.
Well, we have a nice show up tonight. Thank you, guys. So, Bringsinger, how old are you?
Yeah, it's there. Have her click on it now.
Okay.
Is it safe to say I'm younger than 18?
Yes.
I'm 11.
Yes, by golly gosh,
gee.
You're 11, turning 12. What a great age. We get some of our best poetry out of guys your age.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm glad you're here. I remember our conversations.
You can click on the link.
Started sick in the watch, making me make an account and confirm I'm not a robot.
No. You're not a robot, are you? Okay, good.
Today.
So, anyway... I should finish my spiel.
Okay,
Bringsinger,
like did you click to the link? If you clicked on that link, you can...
Yeah, I clicked on the link. It's making me create an account, and the after I clicked, I'm not a robot, is still loading.
Okay, you want to just hang on the phone and listen? Can you do that?
Sure, I can do
okay.
that.
Okay.
There
and what we'll do is we'll need to post it in our chat wall so she can follow along.
Okay.
Which we already do that. We already do that. So Bringsinger, as we go to poem to poem, go to the AP site under ATLV, the chat line where we just were. Click on the link and you'll be able to follow along.
So I go to the chat wall and I go to the forum for this talk and I follow along there.
Yeah, you forget about Blog Talk because you're going to be listening on the phone. Go to AP, our group, A Team of Voices, the chat wall there, you see us talking. And we're going to post the poem poems that are going to be read on that chat line, and you just click it as Linda tells you to.
So I go to
and
the
be able
topic
to follow.
For this, right?
What's that?
Well, no, you don't want to go to the topics. You want to go to chat.
Okay.
Go to ATL.
I'm on.
Yeah. The group messages.
Okay.
tell me where you got it.
I'm on.
Okay. Say hi to her, Linda. Can you say hi to her on the chat line?
Hi, Bring Singer. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Okay, cool.
Chat. Say something on the line. Say something on our group chat line to her. Make sure she's at the right place.
On our group chat line? Oh.
Yeah, where you post the poems. Just say hi to Bring Singer so she can see that she's at the right place.
Yeah, wait a minute. I got to get back there. I'm in the studio.
Okay.
I sent something on the chat line that I think was...
Hello.
You said... Okay, that's as good as... That's good as gold.
Linda. Okay. Can you see that there?
Yep.
Okay, we're good.
All right, cool. You're good.
All righty. So let me finish my spiel here. Welcome to A Team of Voices Radio. Our group is filled with love and respect, and we're all so happy to see you here. We are poets from all over the globe and offer a variety of programming for your entertainment. We offer you a microphone so you can share your voice with us. There is something different going on every night of the week. You never know what it is, and I got to get on my... Oh, it's not working. Anyway,
what do you need,
you're
Linda?
Here.
Okay.
I can't get this thing to go down. There it is. We have games, slams, talk shows, magic tricks, special events, and a topic from A to Z, and you are invited to join us all for the fun. Just click on and listen to the live show, or to hear any pre-recorded episode, you can also call up to participate. You can find our hosts and hostesses writing over allpoetry.com and hanging out. How come this is not working? Okay. Hanging out in a Team of Voices chat room. On All Poetry, we push love and respect. Stop in and check us out. So, we have a good show up tonight. And
I'll fetch your poems if you want. I'll fetch your poems if
okay.
You just call them out. I'll get them.
All right. I have kind of a lineup sheet. Let me put Bring Singer on here.
Do you go by first the posting? Okay. Heavenly Angel.
Yes.
Is that the one you want?
Yes, we can do Heavenly Angel. Yeah, let's do Angel.
Okay. Need the reader. I'm going to post the poem. There you go.
Let me get her out.
I put it on the wall.
Okay. Hypnotized by Heavenly Angel. There's no place I'd rather be than lying here in your arms, gazing into your eyes that mesmerize me, that look at me with raw intensity, wrapping me in a cloud of love. You painted the gray skies I once gazed upon, cerulean blue. You are the stars that shine like thousands of fireflies in my midnight sky. Hypnotized by your charms, I shall always be beautiful. Angel has, I think this is a solo by her, but always so sweet. Angel, this has a certain je ne sais quoi, a beautiful quality of its own. She just writes so unique, and she never fails to impress me with her beautiful lines. She grabbed me with the line, "You are the stars that shine like thousands of fireflies in my night skies." Beautifully written, my lovely friend, and you gas my heart. That's now lovelier than this. Thank you, sweetheart. You're always welcome. I hope that you come next week. Your poetry deserves more than it can ever get from me. So let me get you some more comments here. Carmine.
Well, I'm telling you that Heavenly Angel writes some heavenly, heavenly poetry because it's really romantic. The second voice is so poignant, you know, when she's talking about painted skies and she's talking about the first time she knew that they were blue, and then she uses some wonderful metaphors where she speaks about the individual being the skies, like you are the skies. And so that hits home, you know. I mean, if someone is reading that in respect to the individual, he or she cannot help but be emotionally moved by her words. And that's where her hypnotic talent is, to really get the reader or the one whom she is speaking to engrossed in her feelings. And when she puts it across, there's got to be some palpitations or tears, and that's her talent. She's, well, as you mentioned, she's a very, very wonderful writer and very sensitive. To write words like that, you have to be sensitive. So, Heavenly Angel, keep on writing those heavenly words, and you are definitely most appreciated.
Yes. Good comment. Bringsinger, would you like to comment on Angel's beautiful poem?
I just like to say it's awesome. It's one of, like, the better poems I've heard on this website.
Right on.
And I really like it. It's a really nice, neat poem.
Cool. Well, that was a nice comment. I'm sure she'd appreciate that. Wayne.
Yes. Yes, I said, deep sigh. The poetry is so sweet and lovely that I almost lost my breath. You have to excuse me while I return to Earth. Wonderfully wonderful. Great job.
Cool, Wayne. Hatter.
Yeah, I... she's one of our hallmark poets by far. Were you trying to think of the word eloquently?
Who, me?
Yes, you. You're trying to think of a word that describes her, the writing. But
oh, no, eloquently, yeah, wasn't it, but I know Je ne sais quoi was one.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think this is a collaboration. I think this is a one of hers alone.
Right, yeah. Right.
Very,
yeah,
very
you can
well kind
of tell. Yeah. Yeah, beautiful in the least. I mean, it's all her stuff is just so charming. I like it.
Yeah.
And Mr. That's Prophet, right. What did you think, my darling?
You know, the thing I like about Angel, when she writes like this, she's real direct. She points it exactly square at the reader, puts the reader in her crosshairs, and she talks to him. And, you know, it's she has a very, it's a very personal way that she communicates with her readers. And that's a sign of a really good a poet. Oh, well, in her case, it would be a poetess. I believe that's correct. She never fails to disappoint us. Whatever she puts on the board, and every week when I'm on with you folks, and one of her poems is read, it's always a treat to hear it, always. And she's one of my favorite poetess, and you know, I've known her for quite a while now. I'm just about everybody here. And she's one of my favorite writers and poetess, and I think she's great, and I can't say enough good about her. So, anyway, way to go.
Right on.
Angel.
Oh, nice.
Okay, I put Dave Muddy's on.
Dave Muddy? Okay.
Yes.
And he needs a reader. Would you like to read that, Hatter?
Okay.
Are you? You got it.
I will give it a shot. Okay. The Story of My Stories by Dave Muddy. Stories fighting for expression amongst my clumsy words, silenced by a bruised imagination, inflicted by my wounded heart, lurking in the shadows of remorse. Stories fleeing from emotion, hidden in a rhyming verse, disguised as a pretending candor, perfected by my false impressions, drowning in the shadows of pretense. Stories frowning with indifference, left untold within my comprehension's disconnect by a masked agenda, protected by my own self-pity, blinding in the darkness of control. Stories flying in the winds, blow away on what the day brings, corrupted by a needful curse, nourished by my accepted hunger, starving in the dryness of myself. Stories freeing with their truth, releasing all the conflicting shame, embraced by the healing mercy delivered by my true confessions, thriving in the beauty of the genuine.
Wow. Nice reading, Hatter. And Dave, this was an exceptional work. Your poetic language is so well written, and it has a lovely balance to it. I love the repetition of the first line in each verse. I think my favorite part is verse 3. Where do we go? Yeah, stories frowning with indifference, left untold with my comprehensions, disconnected by a masked agenda, protected by my own self-pity, blinding in the darkness of control. I think I like the strength of this puts out. Blinding in the darkness of control. Awesome line. This is really an awesome piece, Dave. Thank you for attending my show. I thank Dave. He's from Australia, so he sends in his pieces, but we really like having his stuff. He's a lovely writer. And so thank you, Dave. Let me get you another. Dave Prophet.
Oh, there we go. I was talking to my mute button. I apologize. You know, well, I don't know what it is about these Australian poets, but I have yet to see hear or read a bad one. They all seem to be good, and this gentleman's no different. You know, I agree with you. I like that third stanza, Linda. A lot of times, you know, you get these people on there that have the attention span of a mosquito. They don't want to sit there and read anything that's longer than a brevity. And so, you know, I think they're missing out on a whole lot. You know, I can say that in all honesty because most of my stuff is pretty long, and some of your poetry that I've read, Linda, is pretty long too. But it's a product of storytelling. It's a product of storytelling, and sometimes we're in that mode to do that. And so it says, stories frowning with indifference, left untold within my comprehension, disconnected by a masked agenda. Well, that could be somebody's prejudice on, you know, spending longer than 30 seconds reading a poem. Protected by my own self-pity, blinding in the darkness of control. Stories flying in the winds, you know, I don't know. I thought this was really well done. I like the way it read. and it's got a good cadence to it. The lines and stuff are all pretty well balanced throughout, and it's got a good storyline to it. So I'm going to have to say well done.
Right on. Right on. Good comment. Hatter.
Yeah, I like the structure he took. Every stanza starts off with a description line of the stories. Stories fighting for expression, stories fleeing from emotion, stories drowning with indifference. That's a solid structure. Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could almost make a brevity out of just the first lines of each stanza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
so
okay, Linda, I put Jenny the Deep and Lawrence 67 up.
Okay, and they both need readers. So I'll read Jenny. Bringsinger, would you like to read a poem?
I have a terrible reading voice. I'm so sorry. But, like,
okay,
it's very, it would be very bad if I read.
Okay. I'll read Jenny. And Wang, you want to read Lawrence?
Let me look it over and I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and read Jenny.
Okay.
Where is it?
This is Roaring Mornings with Loved Ones.
That's it. So I will go ahead and read Roaring Mornings with Loved Ones, since I so can relate, by Jenny the Deep. As a mom, I could do better, try and be calmer and tamer towards my school-aged daughter. I start with whispers, but then I end sour. Wake up, babe. It's time to get up. Please get dressed and don't forget to brush both your hair and teeth. No, Mom, she whines at me until I merely blow my top. Little to no patience I admit I have, for I, too, am exhausted, not a happy clam. Pulling off her covers, I say, don't get grounded. If I wake up Dad yelling, we're both in trouble. Day in, day out, same morning struggle, a daily fight I deal with my youngest. Just to get her weary head out of bed, I have to raise my voice, but not by choice. I wish I could say we sing and raise joyously, and how I make breakfast energetically, but I must face the cool, hard facts. Morning in this house isn't an easy task. Every once in a while, I try to wake her gently with a smile. Her stubbornness to rise and shine makes me miserable only during school time. Oh, I so relate. I went through the same struggles with mine, one at a time, youngest through our oldest through youngest, but wow, not a ghost to that routine. And she totally expressed her feelings to a T. Her imagery was well planned, and I remember fighting with my daughters every morning to put their shoes on, comb their hair, but no, what goes through their minds. She did that until the day I said, fine, comb your own hair and don't put your shoes on. She got over that fight very quickly. As she went to school with no shoes on and her hair awry. I love the second part, the second verse. Wake up, babe, it's time to get up. Please get dressed and don't forget to brush both your hair and your teeth. No, Mom, she whines at me until I nearly blow my top, because I can hear that in my ears right now, how it sounds. Coming from her, intense. But I want to thank Jenny for bringing this true to life poem to the show tonight, because it really is true to life. And let me get some more comments. Let's go to Bringsinger, because you should relate to this.
I do, except in the opposite way of what probably you're thinking. I'm more like the mother in this case. I like stay up all night long, and I can't get up in the morning. It's so hard for me to get up in the morning. But I stay up all night long. I feel like this is an awesome poem. How it portrays that, like, how, like, if all night long, you wake up, and, like, but, like, no one else in the family wants to wake up. They want to continue to sleep. They're like, why? It's so late. I think it's really
wow.
an awesome poem.
Wow. Well, that's no fun. You know, we missed some comments from before. We missed Carmine and Wayne.
Well, that's okay. I mean,
what was
very eloquent anyway. Couldn't add much to what was said, to be honest with you. But with Roaring Mornings, I'll tell you, I taught young ones for 42 years, so I know exactly what... Jenny is mentioning about teens especially will test. They'll test mom, they'll test dad, they'll test teachers, and they try to be calm, but at times the patient runs out. And when the volcano erupts, nothing much is accomplished except tension and nerves that stretch, etc. But not all kids are like that. There are some who are very mild and very calm, and they don't test their moms and their dads. They help, and so you can't actually say that all kids are that way. However, there is a time when they look for their own independence, and in doing that, it's good. So the testing is good. It's just that mom and dad have to be, they have to be tactful in respect to the situation, and they have to use good common sense. Sometimes they just have to ignore it, but it's hard. In any event, they're loved, and they always will. So in Jenny's case, she's most honest and factual. And the expressions are quite excellent and true. So, bravo, Jenny. You hit it right on the bullseye.
Right on.
Yes,
right
did.
On, Carmine. And then, Wayne, did you want to comment on Dave Muddy's and then Jenny's?
Well, yeah, I went past 4 days where I did Dave, but I did a pretty nice comment. He got a nice comment. I think it was professional and all that, and... And it had a good flow, pretty good. I gave him a lot of compliments, but I don't want to go back to it. It's 4 or 5 pages back. So, but I'll tell you about what I got for Jenny. Here's what I wrote. I said, I think it calls for cold water to the face. Won't have to deal with it twice. Kids are running with the consequences. If she won't brush her teeth, you brush them for her. She'll do it from then on, I guarantee it. And if she can't get up in the morning, just move it back 30 minutes and then make it 30 minutes earlier. And the same time you do that, she'll start getting up on time. You know, if kids can do whatever they want to, but they got to have consequences to pay for it, what they do. And they don't know, because they're real smart when they go having consequences on it. So that's my opinion.
Right, right. Okay, good comment. Hatter.
Yeah, I like the classic battle school mornings. sometimes it's to where if you were a kid like that, you're going to get paid back by your kids doing it.
Right.
Usually that's might be the case, which gives you a little more patience. But yeah, it was well
right. Cool. It was Dave Prophet. What did you think?
Well, not being a parent, I can still identify with it because this happened in my house with my sister, and my parents didn't have to get me out of bed with a stick of dynamite. I just got up anyway. My sister was just a total 180 degrees opposite from me. She was a sleepyhead. Once she got to sleep, you couldn't get her to sleep. And then once she did go to sleep, you couldn't wake her up. And so Mom would come in there, and she would give my sister hell and tell her how she's going to be late for school and all this and that. All it would take was be my father to walk in there, and he'd sit down on the side of the bed, and he'd say, "No, sister," he says, "you got to get up, honey." And bing, right before you knew it, Lois was up, and she was putting her clothes on and stuff. Dad would come out, and he'd be laughing, you know. And my mother would say, my dad's name was Hugh, and my mother would say to him, "Hugh, that shit's not funny." She said, "I don't know how you get your daughter out of bed, but that's not funny, and that's not the way to do it." And Dad would look at her and say, "Well, she's up, isn't she?" So, anyways, I like this poem. It resonated with me a lot. I like the way Jenny writes. She's a good poetess, too.
Yes,
well,
she
done.
Is. Yeah, she
okay,
gets
Linda,
better
after,
every week,
after,
too.
After Phil the poet, after Lawrence, I put we have Jenny the Deep. We have Lawrence and then Phil the poet.
Lawrence, then Phil. Okay. Did I ask Wayne if he wanted to read Lawrence? Yeah. Did you want to read Lawrence, Wayne?
The only way I could read that is if you was to be the person, the introduction person, and then get Tatter to be Abel, one of them, and I'll be the other one. Because it's a poem, it's a play. It's not really a poem.
Okay.
So we need three characters.
Do you want to read the other one, Dave Prophet?
The one by Lawrence?
One person can't read it. One person can
read
the interview. I'll do the interview.
You need more than one person to read it.
Okay, so Wayne will be the interviewer, and Dave will be the other person.
Okay.
Then there's Alfie. There's a third person.
There's Alfie, Nigel, and
is there? I guess that's you, Hatter.
I'll be Alfie. Okay.
Okay, I'm the interviewer. If I get to put positions. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
This is called Thinking Outside the Box by Lawrence 67. We are here to interview Mr. Lawrence 67 to see if there is any credence to the allegated statements that he thinks is outside the box. He is unavailable. Something about probation and ankle monitoring, but we do have the story of the hit series, The Adventure of Nigel, the Fat Cat at his home.
Am I Nigel?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Who's Nigel? Does that mean you?
Sure.
No, Dave's Nigel. Huh? I'm Alfie.
Okay.
Dave,
okay.
Dave's Nigel.
Okay, here we go.
What do you say about these allegations?
Okay. Just say the last line. Wayne, do the
Nigel,
last line.
What do you say about these allegations? Yes, your turn.
Dave.
That is a bold-faced lie and a vicious rumor started by that mean old alley cat who is not credible and is known for his exaggerated cries in the night. I had never thought of outside the box, and I have a full box to prove it.
Alfie.
I can vouch for you there, Nigel.
Nigel.
Quiet, Alfie.
Alfie.
Our cup does overflow.
Nigel.
Not now, Alfie.
I mean, there is crap everywhere.
Nigel.
That's bad. That's bad enough, Alfie. That's enough. I'm sorry.
Oh my bad, Alfie. Nigel. But yay, it's spooky dookie over in the box if Nigel's been there.
Alfie.
Nigel. Interviewer.
Alfie.
Interviewer. Wait.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for this interview. Now, I'll return you to your poetry edition.
Okay, we got to do this again. We got to do this again.
I said it four. I said it four times. I had meat on. I said it four times. I had meat on. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead and start over, and we're going to do this again. Let's try not to trip. Go ahead, Wayne.
Is everybody ready? Okay. Everybody ready? Here we go. All right, from the top.
Yeah.
This is called Thinking Outside the Box by Lawrence 67. We are here to interview Mr. Lawrence 67 to see if there's any credence to the allegated statements that he thinks he's outside the box. But he's unavailable. Something about probation or ankle monitor. But we do have the stars of the history of the adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat at his home, Alfie. Now, Nigel, what do you say about these allegations?
That is a bold-faced lie and a vicious rumor started by that mean old alley cat who is not credible and is known for his exaggerated cries in the night. I have never thought outside the box, and I have a full box to prove it.
I can vouch for you there, Nigel.
Quiet, Alfie.
Our cup does run us over.
Not now, Alfie.
I mean, there's crap everywhere.
That's enough, Alfie.
Oh, my bad, Nigel. But hey, it's spooky dookie over in the box. You, if Nigel's been there.
Alfie.
Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for this interview. Now, we'll turn you to your all-poetry edition. Ian?
That's funny. Funny stuff, Lawrence. You never fail to deliver, my friend. Very clever stuff. I think my favorite part is when Alfie says, "Our cup does overflow." Then later says, "I mean, this is crap everywhere." Oh, my bad, Nigel. But yeah, it's spooky dookie over in the box. It's Nigel's been there. If Nigel's been there. Thank you, Lawrence, for the giggles once again. You completely get us by the noodle, Lawrence. It's just really cool stuff, and I thank you very much. Your wit and your humor doth run us over. So let's go to Carmine.
Well, you show Lauren 67 is supposed to have an interview by somebody, but however, there's a probation and ankle monitor that deters him from that interview. However, he says he thinks thinking out of the box, but really does he think out of the box? And of course, Nigel and Alfie tune in for him, and that some of the things they say are a little nonsense, but really is it nonsense? It's not. And it's like you said, it's very true. So his work is very clever, and the dialogue, well, the dialogue flows, and you and your readings did well. So when you have something like what Lawrence is doing, it's different. It's really out of the box, and so his writing, saying, and the actually theme of what he's saying is out of the box, even though he puts to say, well, you know, that's the way he is. And so he's got to give a lot of credit. He's very clever. You know, Mr. Lawrence is a clever writer.
Right on. And Bringsinger, I don't know if you're aware who Alfie and Nigel are, but they're two cats. And they funny skits back and forth. I just wanted Bringsinger to be up on who now Alfie and Nigel are, so he can get the box. So what did you think, Bringsinger? Did we lose her?
It was an awesome poem. Huh? I really liked how Lawrence made it, so like it was multiple different people talking in the same poem, and I liked the humor in it. It's awesome. I think Warren 67 did an awesome job.
Cool. I'm going
okay,
to
Linda,
give him a check.
Okay, Linda, I've got Phil the Poet and then Titus.
Phil and then Titus. So we got two SoundClouds coming up.
Yeah, I don't have like 30 more minutes. I got 30 minutes.
Oh, so you know what? Can we do Wayne?
Your show. I'll go get it.
Okay. Let's do Wayne.
I mean,
and
I
then we'll
do it right now. I got about 30 minutes, but I just got about 30 minutes to stay around.
Which one is that, my dear? The trees?
Okay, hang on. Wayne is
the
trees, yeah.
The trees.
Sorry, Hatter. We don't want to lose Wayne.
Which one? Fantasy 2. Oh, that's
the
SoundCloud. Okay, I got it. Okay, Linda running back to the studio.
Okay, hang on.
I didn't mean to stop the show.
No, you're not stopping the show, sweetheart. Anything to please.
Okay, there's Wayne's.
Okay.
It'll be like this.
Come on. Wayne, there we go. Okay. This
everybody
is
got
the
it?
Trees by Wayne.
Please, yeah, make sure everybody. Make sure everybody's got it. We skipped a couple.
Yeah. I got it.
Everybody got it? Okay.
Yes.
All right, my darlings.
It's called The Trees by Wayne Gent.
Oh.
As I saw the field, I heard it moan. Been a while since the garden I've grown. Yesterday removed the last stumping ground. I can't get over that terrible sound. Last month I finished my new log cabin home, then cleared the pasture so the cows could roam. Last night the bonfire had quite the blaze. Looked over the forest, a strange haze. Could have kept the cherry tree, cut it down instead. Finished chopping firewood before I went to bed. Wasn't long after dark, was a scent in the air. Peeked out the window, couldn't believe what was out there. Coming across the garden spot where hickory trees, branches shaking wildly, stirring up a breeze. In the middle of the trunks had an eerie face. Angry trees were about to be at my place. They surrounded my home, started to shout. They would yell at me, Wayne, come on out. I grabbed my axe and went to see. That's when I got smacked by a tree. My friends picked me up, started strangling my neck as they turned my home into a demolished wreck. The limbs threw me against another hard trunk. My head was spinning around, but I felt like I was drunk. Strapped me down against the trunk, couldn't get away. Trees took me back to forest to feel my body decay. Kept me tied there till I starved to death. Trees clapped their limbs as I took my last breath. Trees tried to tell me to stop, but all I did was chop and chop. I should have listened to the trees' moans. Now I'm just a pile of bones.
I love the music. Very good, Wayne. That's like excellent. Wow. Wayne, this is fantastic. I think you're best in my eyes, really. So well written with horror and humor, intertwined like the branches of a tree. Your imagery is so tough, it just killed. Great story as well. My favorite part is verse 5 where it says, they surrounded my home, started to shout. They were yelling at me, Wayne, come on out. Excellent imagery in this and the whole poem. Great job, my darling. Thank you very much
you,
for coming
you.
Tonight, Wayne. Did really great stuff. And when I heard the music, I hadn't heard the music before. I just had read the poem. So, yeah, really cool stuff. Let me get you some new comments. Hatter.
I'm having a coughing attack. You're going to have to pass me.
What's that?
Well, go to the next person.
I'm having coughing. I'm excuse me.
Oh. Okay, Carmine.
I'm telling you, Wayne did an excellent job in this story. It's most impressive and very thought-provoking. It's a very powerful story of personification that relates to me, the world being ruined by greed and corruption. They're not caring about stopping to chop. The rainforest, an example, is being destroyed. The lungs of our home. The plastic, the polluting of the oceans, the smoke and the carbon, it's all ruining the earth, and all the signs are there. And so he's saying that the result, he's actually saying that, you know, they're actually saying to him, hey, you know, you're cutting all this down, and we told you to stop, and no, you won't stop. And then what happens, he sees... you know, he sees the segmentations of bones, and that's the result of not listening to what actually nature's saying or what the world is saying. It's really magnificent geological creative thoughts. And so when you look deep into that, Wayne did, to me, Wayne did a very excellent job, because it's a lot to think about, especially today.
It is. Well, I appreciate that. Ain't nothing worse than a mad hickory tree.
Yeah, where he strapped you down against the trunk and you couldn't get away.
Yeah, it's
the
picture.
Took me back to the forest.
The picture tells you what's going on. If you look at the picture, that's me in that point right there in the picture.
Right. Very good. Very good. Bringsinger.
I think, like, it's an awesome poem on its own. Then, like, how he made it sound is, like, if you, like, damage Mother Nature, like, what you do to it will come back to you. Like, you should not hurt those who shouldn't be hurt. You should leave them alone and, like, let them be. You should attack those for no reason. And, like, the image and the music, I feel like, went along with the poem awesomely. And I love how he made the and I love how Wayne made the poem itself. It's an awesome poem. And I really like how it came out. It's awesome.
Thank you very much. That's a great comment. I appreciate that.
Very cool. Okay, Dave Prophet.
This was good. I really liked this. It was kind of scary and spooky and funny at the same time. That's a Wayne trademark in my book. I enjoyed the storyline in it a lot. I always enjoy Wayne's humor. He's always funny, and he always puts a smile on my face every time I can hear him read, unless he's reading something serious. And so, yeah, I don't know. I just like the way this poem went. You know, it's around my house. I've got too many trees. I've got trees that clobber up my eaves troughs and fall down on my shop. And, you know, there's more trees out here in Oregon than you can shake a stick at. And so they don't have any claim for being abused out here in Oregon anyway. So, but it was a good poem. I enjoyed it very much. Thanks, Wayne.
Thank you. Hey, that was Liz Zeppelin in the background. The background was Liz Zeppelin tonight. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that little bit of Led Zeppelin you had going on there, too. That was cool. Liked it.
Cool. Hatter, are you done?
Right at the minute, I am.
Sorry.
That's right. I really wasn't able to follow along too much. I'm coughing my head off.
Okay.
We got Phil the Poet up next, and then Titus.
Yes, we do.
and then Carmine.
Yes, we do. Let's see. Phil. This is something different by Phil. And let me go to SoundCloud. You got it, everybody?
I don't see
it. Is this Two Poets paired with?
It's Bill and Ted's most bodacious poem.
I got it.
Is this Titus's work?
No, this is Phil. Phil the poet.
Okay, the bodacious one. Okay, good.
Yeah. Is that the we're doing that one, right, Hatter?
Yes.
Phil?
I reposted it. So it's on the bottom.
Okay. All righty, here we go.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called Bill and Ted's Most Bodacious Poem. How's it going, poet dudes? Me and Ted. It's Ted and I, dude. Oh, yeah. Ted and I have written a poem, a most bodacious one that will shake the room. Bill, do we have to rhyme all the time? It works with our Shakespeare, dude. Yeah. And he totally rhymed all the time. He even had some real attitude. Excellent! Bill, I don't think they like us. Maybe we've been rhyming too much. Don't worry, Ted, my excellent friend. These dudes are way out of touch. To be or not to be, that is a most bodacious question. Dude, I don't like the reaction. I think we better leave. Ted, this is the most unfortunate turn of events. Yeah, this whole thing is pretty intense. We definitely will flunk our English literature most triumphant situation we find ourselves in. Let's get out of here and write a better poem. Yeah, maybe we can rock this place and be most triumphant in the poetic field. We have to go, poet dudes. Be excellent to each other. And party on, dudes. Catch you later, poet dudes. And poem.
Phil. Oh, my gosh, Phil. You really pulled out the funnies tonight. Where did you have that hidden, my serious friend? I mean, who would have known that coming from Phil? But you did a really great job channeling Bill and Ted. And so funny. My favorite part is, Bill, I don't think they like us. Maybe we've been rhyming too much. Don't worry, Ted, my excellent friend. These dudes are way out of touch. Sweet, dude. You really did that well. Thank you, Phil. I can't believe that came out of you. You know, now we're going to expect it more often because nobody ever suspects the butterfly. And you, my friend, are a beautiful butterfly. Phil, you did an excellent job on that. I'm really surprised. Let me get you some more. Let me see, where am I here? Carmine.
Yeah, no, so that is very clever. Yeah, Phil, very, very clever. It's bodacious indeed. Fun to read. and in many cases, no matter how much you try or what you do, even in rhyming, the creativity is questionable. And so what do you say? Well, let's exit quickly. However, the questions and the statements that are made are really true. I mean, the things change, times change. Said the same thing with artistic. painting. Sometimes it's realism, sometimes it's romanticism. You have different ages, and so the same thing as far as our writing is concerned. Sometimes even cards will not want rhymes. They will want just ordinary free verse. And so what he is saying here is realistic, but he has it and says it in a clever way. So, Mr. Phil, just keep on writing, and as you know, it was mentioned, you do an excellent job, and we all love you.
Right on. Right on. Brink Singer, what did you think?
Well, first of all, it is a very funny poem, very awesome. I love how it rhymes the entire way through. My favorite line is the electric guitar line, by far. And then, like, the next stanza after that. I like how he made it, like, well, he made it funny, yet serious. And, like, he made it rhyme and, like, made jokes from the rhyme, yet also made the rhyme serious. Like, I like how, like, incorporated the two things that, like, so unlike each other into one awesome poem.
Overall, right on. Yeah.
The poet did an awesome job.
He's like a real serious writer usually, so from him this was really funny. Sometime you should hear him do some of his serious stuff, but yeah, he did a good job. Let's see. Dave.
Yeah, this was pretty good. I watched the original movie with Bill and Ted's, what is it called, Fabulous Vacation or whatever.
Excellent Adventures,
and,
yeah.
Anyhow, yeah. It that's what it reminded me of right from the get-go, and I think it was supposed to. This is a real switch for Phil, you know, it really is. It shows that he's got funny bones in his body, too, besides the serious stuff, and he does a good job with that as well. So he's a well-rounded writer. Everybody in Team of Voices knows that. That's just a given. But I really liked this because it was funny and gave me some inspiration to do something. I won't let the cat out of the bag, but I'm going to do it. And maybe I'll read it on your show, Linda, when I get done with it. So anyway,
okay.
Phil, way to go. Way to go.
Right on. I'll expect
okay.
it. I'll expect it.
All right.
Okay. Hatter.
Yeah, dude, man. Bill, we did it with Ryan. We're on the line.
Far out, man.
The most bodacious thing I've ever heard. I don't know if the princesses will like it as much, but we did.
Right on. I'm sure that Phil will get a giggle out of all these comments. Wayne.
Yes. I said, well, man, Ted, wait for me. I'm with you, bodacious self. This is original, and it's presented well. It's presented the point well. I like him being a little bit careless. This is entertaining and fun. And you don't know you don't have to rhyme, but I do. Great job.
Yeah, right on.
Can we get Titus?
Okay.
And Carmine.
Titus and Carmine. All righty. Let me go and grab Titus. So how's everybody doing? Having a good time?
Oh, it just went fantastic. I think, I personally feel the variety of each presentation just bubbles with, I don't know, inspiration in all kinds of ways. And it shows how the imagination of the mind and also the creative writing can go from a thousand channels. And that's the gift of the writer. And it's so explicit and portrayed tonight in the works of our very talented people.
Right on. Okay, Titus is coming up with Where did I put it?
Two poets paired with words.
There we go. You got it, Carmine?
Yes, dear.
Okay. Bringsinger, you got that poem?
Yep.
Okay. Dave, Hatter?
Yep.
Wayne?
Yep,
Wayne,
I got it.
Okay. Okay, good, everybody. I'm going to play the SoundCloud right. Titus. No.
Two poets paired with words. What's love to have me place the what's and why's? To have her eyes diverted, no surprise. To have me place my hands, our bodies wise. Our nipples so delightfully connect upon that semi-stage of thoughts erect. Sticks out his neck with what ifs I detect. A waiting game has finished what was meant to have indulged upon me with intent. A massive game was this upon our sides. There's nothing more inviting, open wide the mind of any woman who'd have dared a test against. To have our interests shared, 'tis not to have our meal too late, then drink. I'd not sit down to write. Now, let me think.
Aw. I think that's neat to meet your kindred spirit, knowing just how to think and feel and touch two bodies set in motion only to feel and be so much. Tony, once more, you have taken lost and turned it inside out. Love and turned it inside out. So lovely are your words, and the imagery is soft and delightful. My favorite part is our nipples so delightfully connect. Sticks out his neck with what ifs I detect. A waiting game has finished what was meant to have indulged upon me with intent. This is beautifully written, giving a spoon of anticipation to my breath. Thank you, Tony. Thank you for your awesome poem, and thank you for coming tonight. And I hope you chime in next week. It'll be appreciative. And I just loved your poem. It was very sweet. Let me get you some more comments. Hatter.
You're going to have to pass it.
What's that?
I'm going to have to, you're going to have to pass me.
Oh, okay. Dave Prophet.
This was really nice. I like the, I don't know, it's sort of a dreamlike atmosphere about it, at least to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, Titus always writes the nicest stuff about his ladies or his wife, or I don't know who he's writing to, but it's really nice stuff, and I thought he did a good job with it, as usual.
Yeah, very nice. Bridge Singer, do you have a comment?
Not really. It's like the first time I've heard or read this type of poem.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Much compared to.
Yeah. Titus is sometimes difficult to comprehend. He writes real intelligent stuff, and it's
and we're not
very deep and yeah. A lot of thought goes into it, so that's okay. Carmine.
Well, Dennis wrote to me a very definitely warm and enchanting piece here. It's expressed so romantically with very emotional feelings. Words do produce emotions, and emotions move people. So you see this wonderful work seems to be like a seduction of the mind and also the body, with the lines and also the rhyme being excellent as far as the flow is concerned. You know, you have a very poignant piece of work here. And so, as always, Titus gets par excellence in respect of his work, and it's deeply appreciated by, you know, poets all over the world.
Right, right. Good comment. Oh, Wayne left. That's right. So we'll cross Wayne out. Good job, everybody. Carmine is next.
I believe it's a dark day. A dark day
hang on
was very shortly thereafter Pearl Harbor was bombed on December 7th, and that's why I felt, you know, like sharing it with our dear friends tonight, because I actually lived through that day, and it's a memoir of memory that doesn't go away. So here we go. A dark day, sleepless night, dark, dark like an Egyptian tomb echoes on a critic's song as a late summer sun begins to yawn and peep its head above the horizon. A silence broken by the sound of crows streaking above the trees. My 10 years of boyhood adventure, far more than Huckleberry Finn, now full of sadness, fear, and anxiety, awaits my older brother, 26, to hug his family goodbye while we cry, crushed by the thought we may never see him anymore. The greed for power started a war that had to be stopped, so he volunteered. His brave, courageous spirit waves as Dad drives him in his 39 beige Plymouth down the dusty road into the unknown, not alone, but with millions of others fighting for country and freedom. Oh, it's a bright day, but a dark day, as Dad's car turns the bend and fades away, swelling my young heart into waterfalls of tears. A picture painted in the back rows of my memory that remains these 82 years.
Wow. Carmine, how terribly heartfelt. It put a cricket in my throat. I love the imagery in this. The beige 39 Plymouth, the dusty road, awesome memory. It's funny what we remember at times like these, like the sunrise in the car. But overall, I see an immense love for your brother. My favorite part is the second verse. My 10 years of boyhood adventure, far more than Huckleberry Finn, now full of sadness, fear of anxiety, awaits my older brother, 26, to hug his family goodbye while we cry. Crushed by the thought we may never see him anymore. God, what a tremendous, just heart-wrenching time that must have been. It's like you grew up right there in a single moment. Great writing, my friend. You've captured this all and could make a Hallmark picture show out of it. Nicely done. Thank you for coming tonight, Carmine. Always a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Bring Singer, what did you think?
It is the saddest poem I've ever read, but it's actually kind of a nice poem. It's everything that a poem should have. It is not that it's not the longest, but it's long. It's like the perfect length. And it's an overall like really nice poem. The structure's awesome. It is a very sad poem, but it also is like filled with like longingness of like wanting to see the brother again. It must have been really sad, but you made it into an awesome poem.
Yeah, right.
Well,
right on.
It actually was, because I'm being humble now. After 82 years, I feel I'm there, and I cry. After 82 years,
wow.
I cry. I'm sorry to
after
say this,
82
but
years.
There's a sensitivity in me that doesn't go away, and the memory stays. And that's what happens in life. It stays. A lot of things don't. They say time heals everything. No, time does not heal everything. Sometimes it just remains, stays.
Right. That was so beautiful. Hatter.
Yeah, it spoke well of the loss of the innocence of childhood. Playing with your brothers on the farm one day and the next you're going to war. War was romanticized quite a bit back in World War I and World War II, and nothing romantic about it. But it's a sad
right.
tearjerker, and it was well done, Karma.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate it, my dear friend.
Dave Prophet.
Well, it's... poem resonated with me quite a bit because I was in the Army during the Vietnam conflict. I wasn't over there. I was over in Korea, but we had a bird's eye view of what was going on there. And, you know, I didn't lose any family, but I lost a lot of friends over there, you know, dear friends I used to run around with when I was in high school. And I think this poem speaks to that. You know, it's war is never productive. It's always destructive. And, you know, I don't know. I thought this was a very honestly written poem. I like the rawness of it and you know, the storytelling that Carmine put into this, and I thought it was really well done. Well, good job, Carmine.
Thank you.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. Okay, how do you want to go? Oh, which one did you want to do? Or did you want to do both?
The one I just posted.
That one?
Yeah, we could do it.
Oh, heart wrencher.
I'll try to get through it without coughing. If I have to pause, just bear with me for a minute.
So what poem are we doing?
It's called She Was Never Alone. Go ahead.
Got it. Thanks.
She was never alone. She was never alone, a promise to a little girl. Each time I watched, she stood in waves, something she did around midday. Politely gazing to the sea, I wondered why, quite innocently. Always wearing the same white dress, her hair strung flowers to look her best. She twirls like smoke on a firelit dune. Each day she's there at a quarter to noon. I asked in hope someone might share the story of the girl with flowers in her hair, tales of a girl that lives each day watching the sea and the crashing waves. Tomorrow I'll wait near the place she stands, hoping that I might understand. She was 11 and lives on Mary Brook Way. She likes syrup and pancakes to start her day. She calls her cat Pretty and her dog Scooby-Doo. She lives with her mom and her aunt lives there too. Her name is Samantha, her eyes so blue. Each day she wished her wish to come true. She called her father, the one she missed. I watched her smile, then blow him a kiss. He went to fight and protect us all. He's handsome and brave and very tall. He said he would come home as soon as he can. He promised me, and that I should understand, that sometimes fathers have to leave. That's what he said, so I have to believe. How long has it been since he went away? I've watched you stand here every day. Her father, I could tell, she must have adored. I wondered if she knew there was no war. It had ended a year ago, times three. I feared for Sam and where her father might be. So strong I felt in this little girl twirl, who refused to let it change her world. He's on his way. I know it's today. He'll come back to me, and that's the way it's going to be. Samantha never missed a day of waves, her hair tied with flowers around midday. A little girl's love grew and grew. She never failed to gaze the sea. She waits for her father's return to her, and that's the way it's just got to be. Samantha turned winters many more, or summers turned winters many more, some many more times. My return was in hopes that I might find a little girl still just older, still in a gaze, with eyes so distant, still counting the waves. 10 years have gone by. 10 years have gone, and I have returned, wondering if Sam had ever learned the fate of her father she held so dear. Never to return, I had that fear. I wish there could be, and I was sure it would, around midday where that little girl once stood. She must have ended her daily quest, realizing that it would be for the best. I bowed my head and thought so sad, the story of Sam and her missing dad. Then appeared the flowers that tied the hair, the little girl grown, and the story shared. Her hair with floral so perfectly tied, she stood at the place watching the tide. Could it be her after all these years, still refusing to realize her greatest of fears? Then someone was walking slowly towards Sam, in uniform, a soldier, a very tall man. A smile planted upon my face, Sam stood at her special place. A girl knew he would come home, no matter how long. She was never alone. Poem.
Wow. Hatter. This brings tears to my eyes. My God, this is absolutely beautiful. I don't know what to say. You know, it just warms my heart. My favorite part is I bowed my head and thought so sad, the story of Sam and her missing dad. Then appeared the flowers that tied the hair, a little girl grown, and a story shared. So poignant and sweet. You really know how to tell a great story, Hatter. Just so inspiring. You are my hero. Please come back next week, my darling. That was absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
Yeah, just really. Bringsinger, what did you think?
It is a nice poem. I feel like it's kind of sad at the beginning. Towards the end, it gets happier and happier, and then the final stanza is like the happiest, how she finally has her dad come back, finally meets her dad after all those years of not seeing him. I really like the poem. It's a nice poem. I like how you incorporated that into the poem. It's really long, but I feel like if anyone reads it, it's very worth it to get the whole story, the whole poem, just because of how amazing the poem truly is.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, that's hard to tell a story like that without getting a little lengthy.
That's
right. Yeah, it is. Yeah. We know that, huh, Dave Prophet?
Yes, ma'am, we do.
But everybody, no, Hatter, that was gorgeous. Carmine.
Oh, Mr. Hatter, you got yourself 5 stars here, sir. It's a great story. Very heartfelt, very emotional, very inspiring. Excellent rhyme, excellent flow. Of course, you know, when we have the war, we have a waiting, we have the anxieties, we have the fear, yet above all, the intense love for that individual or whomever it may be inspires hope. And then, of course, you have to have patience, and patience does promote peace. Yet the years never cease to stop. They just keep on going. However, that love returns as if it had never left. And so in your story here, of course, it all portrays intense character, an intense situation, because war does present character, presents mood, atmosphere, and everything that stirs the mind and also the heart into either anger or tears or whatever you want to call life. And so, dear friend, you have captured that in the promise to a little girl. The promise was fulfilled, but it was her hope and her love that brought that fulfillment to a reality. Bless your heart, dear writer. You got five stars on that for me.
Thank you, Carmine.
Now you got to listen to my stupid poem.
Did you
that
get
was
it?
A joke, friend. Yeah, I got it.
Okay,
let's see. This one's called... Where is it? It's called Cosmic Haze by Liquid Damage. Everybody got it?
Wait, did we pass Dave Prophets?
Yeah. Oh, did we pass Dave?
Yeah, I think we did.
Oh.
Yeah, you did.
Uh-oh. Okay, we can go back.
I have it.
Okay, wait.
I got it.
Are we doing Dave's or mine?
Dave's.
Okay,
Dave, go ahead.
Let me grab it.
It's already up there.
Oh, there it is. I didn't see that. I got it.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a please play while reading a sound clip.
What?
You don't have to do that.
Okay.
This one is called Whispers in Blonde.
Got it.
Okay. This is a lady friend of mine that's been on All Poetry for as long as I have, anyway. She's just a fabulous lady. She's gorgeous, and she's lots of fun.
Yes, she is.
Her name is Michelle 22, and she's just fabulous. And I never wrote any dedication to her, and so I just... thought I should get down to that, so that's what I did. And it sounds like this. Gentle heart, gentle soul, beautiful woman, forever told, upon the lips of those that behold, from a distance her magnificence consistent told. Look at you through the green eyes, light years in depth, like butterfly wings on eiderdown. Her glance makes no sound, whispers in blonde if she likes you, trying to decide if she likes what she sees. Her emerald vision drifts down between the trees, looking down to the forest floor to find you looking up forevermore. Over the mountain ranges she flies, glimpses of nirvana inside those green eyes, always searching for her like the pot of gold at the end of my only rainbow, never quite finding her, all the searching in times that were and all those that are. Leads me to those bridges so far, for I have been across the bridge of sighs. Such trickery there the wind belies, will lie to you in both your ears, then kiss away your worst fears. She has tasted all those wasted tears, for I would give her none, a deck of 52 reasons why I would never make her cry. Whispers in blonde saying, thank you, fading away on a forest breeze, only if you please. I shall see her again forevermore. End poem.
Wow. David. This is so beautiful. A lovely tribute to a dear friend and so well written, like a delicate piece of tapestry with so many colors and patterns to make it interesting. My favorite part is over the mountain ranges, sky she flies, glimpses of nirvana in those green eyes, always searching for her like the pot of gold at the end of my only rainbow. How sweet you speak of her like an angel. She must be awesome to inspire such beautiful poetic language. This is such a lovely imagery. It's just like I almost know her. Great job, David, and thank you so much for coming tonight. You are the bomb for showing up tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No, really. Really.
Well, thank you, Linda.
Hatter.
Linda, I'm taking care of something. I'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Ringsinger.
Poem. But it's truly awesome how you made this to your friend and how not only does it show the image, but it shows how much, like, you like your friend. Like, you wrote a nice poem. It's an awesome poem. It's all about your friend. It's all about how awesome they are. It's a really nice poem. And
wow.
It just shows how much, not only you like them, but how much they have to say, how good they are in this world. It's truly an awesome poem.
Well, thank you very
much.
Wow.
Hey, Linda.
Truly awesome. That's brilliant. Yes. Hatter?
I'm going to have to leave. I'm going to have to leave you for the rest of the day.
You got
one of yours two others.
And Frank's, yeah. Frank and...
Okay, have a good show.
All right, thank you, Hatter.
Yeah, and Bring Singer, I'm glad you showed
up.
Come back, okay?
Okay, Carmine.
Well, I'll tell you, it's really a wonderful, beautiful tribute to a beautiful young lady, and it shows his expression of deep affection, and even the aspect line where it says he longs to see her again, especially as far as expressing her beautiful green eyes and what you had said in respect to the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But he's got some very, picturesque imagery, the personifications that he has, and also the similes that he uses. So this sense of the poem is a great job. Mr. Prophet, you did an excellent job here, and I'm quite sure that these put the quote-unquote whispers for a dear friend would be most assuredly appreciated, and she would be very, very proud of, what you say to her in your expressions and also your feelings.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carmine.
Beautiful.
You're welcome.
Beautiful, my darling. All right, it's my turn. This is called Cosmic Haze. Does everybody got it?
I just have to get it now. Okay.
Yep, I got it.
Okay, Bring Singer, you got it? I got your message, by the way. Sorry.
It's fine. Yeah, I have it up.
Okay.
Okay. I like that picture. It's wonderful.
Isn't that pretty? I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looks
wonderful.
Like me a little bit. Okay, Cosmic Haze by Liquid Damage. I fall asleep and chance to dream in colors that abound me. Onyx, peach, and turquoise all swirling in a sea. The universal energy sets my dream ablaze. Now I'm lost in my emotions, floating in a cosmic haze. hanging by a silver thread swinging from a star. Across the sky I fly tonight to a galaxy afar. Wind chimes made of moonbeams in a harmony of light. My wings adrift on mystic air in a melody of flight. In a mirrored pool of stars reflect the image of your face. I take your hand, now we're two, traveling in space. Alone no more I fly with thee and skip on Saturn's rings. In royal sky I'll be the queen and you can be my king. In poem. Okay. Carmine.
Well, I tell you, my dear, that was a song in itself. It was very melodic and very picturesque. It has such a beautiful flow like you have, and I like the lines like wind chimes made of moonbeams and in the harmony of light. It's very delightful imagery. It's an elegant poem, my dear, and it's very poetic. It's very story-like, and that is a portrayal of your special talent, which we continue to hear every time we have this program, and it's enlightening. I mean, when we hear things like Hatter just did, and I mean, it's beyond words. You don't have words to say because it portrays the different shades of your feelings. And this is one that can be classic in its own category. And of course, storytelling, you're Madame Storyteller. So bravo. I loved it. And America as much as all the other poems I have tonight. And I told you from the very beginning you would have a very inspiring show, and it hasn't failed
to
be anything else but.
Yes, you did. Well, thank you, Carmine.
You're welcome.
Brinksinger. Well, thank you. Brinksinger, what did you think?
It was an awesome poem. And when you read it, I felt like I was actually soaring through the air, through the night sky, through the universe. It was an awesome poem.
Oh,
I thought
wow.
I described everywhere you went, flying through the night sky, through the universe. It was truly an amazing poem, and I really liked how picturesque it was.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. That's just really enlightening and inspiring to me to hear your words. That was really nice. Dave Prophet.
Oh, Linda, Linda, Linda. that seems to be our greeting to each other. Anyhow, I love the way you rhyme stuff. Your rhyming meter is always good, perfect, and I could take lessons from you on that. Your storytelling in this poem is really good. It's refreshing to read one that's not. At least this is my takeaway from it. I didn't get any pining around about lost loves or anything like that. It's just a young lady that's. Dreaming, or she, even if she's not dreaming, she's in a dreamlike state. She's just laying there and letting her mind off the leash, and saying, here, go play around for a while. universal energy sets my dreams ablaze. Now I'm lost in my emotions, floating in a cosmic haze. I think we all do that. And especially if we're asleep, that's kind of like giving your brain the day off, or night off, I guess it would be. I wish I could do this more. My poor brain works overtime almost all the time, but every now and then I'll take something that knocks it for a loop, so I can have some fun on its own. But to get my drift here, but anyway, This was beautiful. I liked it. It made me feel good when you read it. I liked the way you read it. And, you know, that's the kind of effect that a good writer should have on its readership, I think. And you certainly do that all the time. So good job.
Well, thank you, Linda, my darling. Linda. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm going to pull up Frank's here because it is a poem to hear. So let me get this.
Linda, I'm going to have to leave, sweetie.
Oh.
My
okay.
dog, my dog's reason no, and I don't want him to do something in the house that he and I would both be sorry for. So I'm just going to have to let myself out. I had a good time,
okay.
And this won't be the last visit to your show either, for sure.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad that you came tonight, my dear friend. And
well, I'm
come
gonna
again.
See if I can, I'm going to try and talk the ladies into coming at a different time than Fridays. It's just not a good night for me. Maybe I can get them over here on Tuesday or Wednesday. That would be better, I think. But
yeah, because I'm having a show next Friday.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Okay,
all right,
well, I'll talk
darling.
To you later then. Okay.
Okay. Have a good
bye-bye.
Night. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Okay, Bring Singer and Carmine. I think it's just us guys. And we have a really good one coming up. It's called A Darkled Shade of Mystery. And it's got a SoundCloud. Oh, here. Let me make sure I... Did I get that? Yeah. The link should be on the board. Has everybody got it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bring Singer, you got a darker side
yep,
of...
Yep, I got that.
That?
And
okay.
Then... all the other ones that were on the list of things we're doing tonight that we have not done yet.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you have it because I don't see it. Okay, well, let's do Frank's. It's the SoundCloud, so here we go.
Shade, a mystery shrouds the clouds of horrific secrets over the old grounds of the soot and grime of the St. Mary's Church, where the piles of snow cover the cold grass of the parches beyond an English calf, and the whispers of evil whistle ruffling the cracking boughs of trees. Deep echoes of a haunting noise reverberate suddenly into the daunting voice of a wraith of an abominable curse. And the blackbirds watch the fainting remnants of daylight fade into the dreaded gloom of the horizon of the blinding morrow. Eagerly, they flap the wings in their haste and departure as the corbins from the cemetery arrive to usher in the night. The image of death and care glow with the glisten of the moon. When the hour of midnight strikes and the church bells ring, through the curtains look on the wandering shuttle that feeds on fear. The columns of the interior church awaken the crushing dust of legends. Listen for the sounds that shatter the walls that shook the earth. And listen to the ghastly breath of the red hue of blood and burning Listen to her. Oh, in the poem.
Frank, this is spectacular. Your wordage is deep and embedding, and I love your use of Darkled and Soot and Garth to explain your area. You give such a dark and gloomy picture of where this is, and the crows are, let me see, where am I? And the crows are too spooky. My favorite part is, and the blackbirds watch the fainting remnants of daylight fade into dreaded gloom of the horizon of the blinding morrow. Another cool way of describing the next day. He uses so many cool words to describe things in his poetry. Anyway, very cool. I loved it a lot, my dear Sergeant of Scary, Master of Macabre, and Deputy of Doom. Please come back next week for another episode of Liquid Damage Lounge. We love you, Frank. Can't get enough. Let me get you another comment. Brain Singer, what did you think?
I think it was a good poem. And I don't like dark poems that much, but actually pretty nice. But it left a dark image in my head. It was easy to make a picture out of what was happening. I was like watching a movie, kind of, how the scenes flowed through my head. But overall, it was actually a pretty nice poem. I expected it to be like really dark and scary. But it was that, but it also had like this type of light that don't know how to explain. It was also like just calm, the same thing as being dark for me, at least. I was just a really nice
Yeah. Girl. Cool. I'm sure Frank would be really, really happy that you said that about his poem. Very nice comment. Carmine.
Well, you know, Francisco is he's special, and he's got a special talent. And his expressions of darkness are painted very artistically. It's like a perfect pitch in the voice or an instrument. It demands experience. It demands talent. It's like a classic song because the words and the music have to blend in a perfect marriage. Just like his work over there blends in the marriage that brings out the mood and the atmosphere. Of course, the theme is mysterious, and as he says in his title, darkled in shades of black, really. And so when he uses other characters, the crows, et cetera, that emphasizes or embellishes the mood. And so when you say, yes, you are a master at this, well, it didn't happen overnight. It's been taking some time for him to accomplish such expressions of this genre. And you got to give him a lot of credit because every time you hear something, it's very penetrating, and you know it follows through with the theme. So he deserves so much credit, and his being on the show is part of that. Those shades that we're talking about,
yeah,
and it's beautiful, really. He deserves a lot of credit, Bill Franco. He does.
Yeah, we love our Frank. Okay, somebody's calling on 307. Area code 307, who's calling? Huh. 307, who's calling? Okay, then. We have a poem from Deb. And I think she's going to need a reader. Let me pull it up and see what she's got. So is everybody having a good time? I wonder if that was Deb. That wasn't Deb's number, huh? Deb is 856. Well, I guess since we're running out of time, I'll read Deb's. This is called Cameras, Eyes, Spies, Scarlet's Manicured Hands. Has everybody got that? Oh, wait.
Yes, yes, I have that.
Did I put that up? No, I haven't put that
up
yet.
I have it up too.
Everybody's got it up at me. Huh. Let me push this in here. Okay. Well, you guys all got it, and I just got it. So I will read Cameras, I Spy Scarlet's Manicured Hands by Deborah Lee. A big sign now lay face down in vegetation, but was posted so people do not walk in the thick mud pit. The crew of laughing teens knocked down the sign, pounding on the post till the grain in the woods split. Scarlet strolled by forest ferns bordering the swamp, scouting out Brazil nut trees for brownie rapaces, and two turtles sunbathed on the bank of the creek, sheltered neath thick green leaves from palm trees. She traveled the rainforest wedges wearing a big grin from the sounds of the treetop birds called symphonies, as all the parrots and macaws and toucans sing perched overhead in branches in the tree canopies. Monkey brush veins and coffee plants grow wild in the food plains, dotted with orchids and water lilies. Banana, rosewood, and fig trees grow in the mosses. Cacti sprout by the shrub packed with juicy berries. Animals from all around and rainforest eats the fruit. Silence hits as scarlet strands without bird song. 2,500 muscle pounds are spotted, stretched out, and close to half a football field long. The giant snake curls and corkscrews curve, now scarlet grass at the view that she sees. She drops the fruit and the new nut basket and runs, but the snake slithers the ecosystem with ease. It coils and strikes, then squeeze. Her manicured hands is the last sight the camera lens sees. Wow, Deb. What a beautiful hoot. This was, I loved how you opened this up all with happy and gleeful, the beautiful flowers and plants grow nicely, and then pound, the snake comes. And my favorite part is, but the snake slithers the ecosystem with ease. It coils and strikes, then squeeze. Her manicured hands is the last sight the camera sees. Awesome. This really was cool, Deb. Thank you for coming tonight, and please come back next week. Carmen, you might get interrupted for a second, but what did you think by Deb's creepy... Did Carmine leave?
Oh, yes. Oh, no. Here I am. I didn't know. Okay.
Hi, Carmine.
Yes, it's a very beautiful descriptive scenario of the jungle, the dark, the dangerous, mystifying aspect of it. The creatures of danger unexpectedly attack and can swallow a trespasser or unwary person very quickly. There's a kind of touch of sadness at the end within its beauty. However, in our lives,
yeah,
we can get all swallowed up in very sometimes senseless choices. So she's got a point there, very creative. And, of course, as it's known in life, the unexpected always happens. So she did a good job, Deborah Lee.
Yeah.
She always does.
Yeah, she always does. She does. Brinksinger, what did you think about it?
I liked the poem, and I love the images she posted to the poem. I don't think they were entirely
right.
necessary, though, because the poem was, like, so beautiful. Like, I could imagine the pictures in my mind. Like, the images themselves were awesome. But, like, I could
right.
imagine the images in my mind as it wove through the scenery. It was an awesome poem.
Very cool. Right on. I'm sure Deb would thank you very much. And I'd like to thank everybody, Carmine, Brinksinger, Wayne, Hatter, Prophet, Deb, Frank, Titus, Phil, Wayne, Angel, Dave Muddy, Jenny the Deep, and Lawrence. I think that's all we had. I want to thank you all for a terrific show. Wow. Just really, really cool. And I would urge you to come back next week to have another great show. The poetry tonight was just awesome. Do you guys agree?
Yes, most assuredly.
Right on.
Were we supposed to do I Held the Pen?
I'm going to issue a question, my dear Linda. One thing, okay?
Okay,
just a second. When you say right on, I'm quite sure you spell it the W-R-I-T-E rather than R-I-G-H-T.
I do now.
right on, my dear
that,
fellows.
That was Hatter's other poem. And I don't know if we should read it without his permission. But it's a good one if you want to read it. Go ahead and read it. It's like, Hatter's like one of the best poets ever.
Which
go ahead and give
that
a read.
Which one is that, my dear?
What's the name of that one?
I Held the Pen?
I Held the Pen, that's right.
Yeah.
We have time?
Yeah.
We have time?
I guess we could go ahead and read it. I don't think Hatter would mind. Let me see if I can get it up there. Yeah, we're still rolling. We're just not. How does it work? Hatter, I Held the Pen. There we go. Copy link. Okay. Carmine, would you like to read it?
Yes, okay. I held the pen that bled the words that rained from a cloudless sky. Windless storms will carry the curse, whispering names as you walk by. The wounds will never tell you, nor the scars that paint my cheek. My severed hands will not write, and the words I cannot speak. My dreams are laced with the blood that ran into a hopeless sea. These walls were built in which it stands on the souls of those that believe. And
wow.
That's your hat has got an, he's got another beautiful poem here. It's so expressive. And it reminds me, if I may say, of, you know, the beaches of Iwo Jima, Okinawa, and Leyte, Gulf, Midway, and so forth, especially the last thing. It's, I don't know, it's words expressive that, like that, especially of the blood that flowed. What gets me is that every generation tends to neglect and forget what war really is. So, of course, these are very provoking words. And the last stanza is extremely powerful and beautifully expressed. So, again, Mr. Hatter, we tip our hats to you.
Right. This is just, I can't believe my ears sometimes when I read his poetry. The rhyme and flow were stupendous, and the poetry was out of this world. My favorite part was, the wounds will never tell you, nor the scars that paint my cheek. My severed hands will not write in the words I cannot speak. I loved how he used cannot instead of I can't speak. It gives it more of an awesome flow to it, really pretty, and laced with blood. My words exactly. I just love this Hatter. It's excellent poetry. Bringsinger, what did you think?
I agree with you on about how, like, the words he used, like, helped the flow. I really like how he wrote, how she wrote it, how they wrote it with, like, so much, yet in so little, like, amount of lines. They wrote so much. Everything's so amazing. Like, I can't even describe, like, every single stanza brings new thoughts to my head. And, like, even I'm reading this now, and, like, every single time I read it, I think of something new. It just pops out.
Yeah, good comment. I was thinking the same thing, how he can say so much in just a small verse, you know, or a line. He just completely blows it away. Really, really good writing. So that's Hatter. He's one of my favorite poets on All Poetry. Just really outstanding. Well, Bringsinger, I thank you so much for coming tonight. I'm so glad you made it. And maybe you can make it again sometime.
Robot can make it again too sometime. Be so
yeah,
glad
we're having a show.
Again.
We're having a show next Friday at the same time. If you'd like to come, we'd really appreciate it. You've been an excellent guest, as is Carmine always. Excellent guest.
It's a pleasure being on your program, my dear, and it'll always be. So just keep up the excellent work, because, we love you, and I know those people out there love you, too.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you very much.
Oh, it is.
That's really a sweet thing to say, Carmine. Let me get rid of these guys. And I think I will say adieu for the night. So to you guys, good night, adieu, c'est la vie. And I'm out of here.
Good night, my dear. If the Lord wills, we'll be joining you next week then, okay?
Right on. With a W.
Okay.
All right,
take
you
care. Guys. In regards to your husband, too, okay?